Tonight's Sunday Night Big Brother Recap is sponsored by True Car. When you're looking to buy a car, you want to make sure you're getting real pricing on the actual inventory. Unfortunately, a lot of times that's not the case. People can configure their car online only to later find out that that car is not available. With True Car, you get real pricing on actual inventory. Not just pricing offered by True Car, but pricing from the actual dealer. Not just any old dealer, a True Car certified dealer. It's a carefully curated network of dealers committed to transparency and offering you a competitive market price. True Car will show you what other people in your area are paying for the same car you're looking for. Now you know what a fair price is so you can feel confident. Over 3 million cars have been sold to True Car users by the True Car Certified Dealers Network, and there's over 13,000 True Car Certified Dealers nationwide. That's more than the amount of bowls of cereal that Matt eats in one day. You'll work directly with a True Car Certified Dealer contact, and True Car users are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with the True Car Certified Dealers. And best of all, True Car users save an average of over $3,000 off of MSRP. So when you're ready to buy, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Coming live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who just got done landscaping the Tree of Temptation. I am Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody. And it's special Sunday night edition, late night, West Coast, after Game of Thrones. No spoilers here tonight, but we've got a great show. And very excited to bring back one of our favorite guests for Big Brother, or for really for anything. Please welcome back the greatest Big Brother showmance. Here are Brendan and Rachel. Brendan and Rachel, how are you?
Good.
Hi, it's Rachel. I don't know who this guy is.
Who is this? Who is this? That, okay.
This is an ode to Brent.
Yes. Okay, so Brendan and Rachel, for you listening on the podcast, are that Brendan is gone full veil. I think yep. That might be
full
the
veil.
Best about the direction of this season.
Full veil.
Yes. Of course, also here with me again is Brent Wagamont. Brent, how are you?
Yes, and I had to campaign for this slot, too, with Rachel and Brendan, because Alex was originally scheduled, but then, Rob, you were my savior. You scheduled Alex to do the Game of Thrones recap.
Yes, that, I used the ring of replacement to replace Alex with Brent on this podcast. I said, Alex, really, what would really help me if you were just editing the Game of Thrones podcast that I did right before this. So that would actually be a lot better
That's
for
awesome.
Me. So I could devote my undivided attention to Brendan and Rachel. So I'm very
you know,
excited.
It's funny. I was going to say that's probably more campaigning than any one Big Brother house guest has done the entire summer.
Yes. Yes. All right, so we got the chat room open. Scott St. Pierre is standing by to take your questions. Hashtag RHAP for all of your questions for Brendan and Rachel to discuss here tonight after this Sunday night episode. By the way, if you missed our Friday night recap of the recap with Eric Stein, even if you didn't watch the recap of the recap, we had a lot of fun on our last live show. So definitely give that a shot. Brendan, were you there? Were you watching
Stein? It was titillating.
Yeah. We listened to it
and
twice,
I don't
actually,
throw the
T-word
around.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Well, maybe we'll talk a little bit
more. It was
more.
No Fuller House recap, but it was up there.
So a lot of fun moments from that show. So Brendan and Rachel, okay, how are you guys doing?
Good, good. You know, I was going to make a comment that I was actually sad because Matt Hoffman was not doing the, you know, recap show. So.
Yeah, recap and the recap. Yeah, he's out of the country. He's in Egypt, right?
But maybe when he gets back, he can recap the recap of the recap.
That would be.
I think there might be one more Friday night Big Brother, so maybe we can get him back
Perfect.
At some point.
Oh, thank God.
As punishment for all of his sins, that's his penance. He has to come in and recap recaps for us. Brendan, I have a lot of eclipse questions to ask you that
yes.
Could you, if I make glasses out of a cereal box, scientifically speaking, is that safe?
That is safe and safe for your social circles as well.
Okay. Will Matt be able to go through enough cereal boxes to supply all of California with eclipse
yeah.
glasses?
We might be down. There might be a heavy impact on the cereal box industry at the moment. Do the math.
Yeah. Because it's all in the Big Brother house.
But I haven't heard him mention it on another episode, so I'm getting a little nervous.
Yeah, well, I was saying earlier tonight that I felt like that this was actually the week in Big Brother that we might have the best chance for power to change hands in the house, because there is a non-zero possibility that Paul might go into the backyard and stare into the eclipse for too long. He might be taken out of the game after suffering some injury from the eclipse, and then it's anybody's game after that.
That's a good point. Although Raven is more likely to have that happen to her because she's probably going to use that as another excuse where she went blind or something. Who knows?
Brent,
damaged her retina.
If Paul damages his retina staring at the eclipse on Monday and he has to go to the hospital and then they let him come back into the game, will you be okay with that?
I think I would have to go back to the veil. I don't think I could put up with that. I mean, I already have my problems with Christmas being allowed to stay in the game like this. Like, it's just terrible, Rob. I don't get me started. Just don't.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So I guess let's get into all this now. Rachel, I was following some of your tweets earlier tonight that you seem upset with the house guests for how much control they've given to Paul in this season.
Yes. It's so disappointing. It's like, I don't understand how.
It's disgusting.
It is. It's how one group of people could forget that they are playing Big Brother and going for $500,000. I mean, it's like, I have never met a bigger bunch of, seen a bigger bunch of dummies in my life.
Well, no, Rachel's just jealous that we didn't get to play with them.
That's true. I actually did say that today.
Now,
I was like,
man.
You
guys did play in the season where you were returning players that came back into the house, and there was a bunch of Keystone Cops newbies that were around, with the exception of a Shelly, or I'm sure there's some other exceptions there. I mean, do you see any similarities to the BB13 crew?
Well, they were undercover cops like Kevin. So.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, he's a detective.
Yeah, he's a detective. Straight. I think Kathy was a better Big Brother player than these house guests.
Wow. I mean, had it not been for a Matt Hoffman blindside.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I have, thought myself, and we've definitely talked about this, that at points, at least in the first half of the season, there was a BB12 vibe to this, where that the house was really preoccupied with Cody and Jessica for a long time, and that really did help the brigade be able to, nobody was really thinking about them, everybody was worried about what you guys were doing, and there's been so much of Cody and Jessica in the first half of the season. Like, amazingly, like, Cody and Jessica, like, they were just... They were like just two people, but it was kind of like that. They were an alliance of four, and the whole first half of the season was just Cody and Jessica getting picked off. Think about it. Like, Cody, there was 2 weeks devoted to getting him out of the house, and then there was a whole week getting Jessica out of the house, and then there was a whole week where it was just like a halting hex. So four weeks of the season were just spent on getting two people out of the house.
I mean, I think that's probably why it really dragged this summer, because you're watching these two people and not... And every time, I mean, they had multiple chances where they could have come back from it, where they could have flipped it around. I mean, for the love of God, there was three showmances in the first week of the game. How often does that happen?
No.
And I mean, and Cody and Jessica somehow did not turn that around or turn that into like a something. Like, Rachel and I in season 12 were by ourselves. And it was like, I mean, to be in a showmance, I mean, in our season was, everyone was, it was a pariah.
Yeah.
Everyone
you guys
was scared.
Made it cool.
I guess, like, yes.
Well,
I mean,
there was Kristen and Hayden, but then
they were so scared to be called a showmance.
Right.
It's like, don't say the S word.
Yeah.
Don't say the S word.
Oh, no. Did Captain Kosher see us?
Throwing out bombs right before his eviction.
No, Reed, you guys, I do have a question really quickly. You know, when we saw Cody and Jessica totally isolate themselves when they knew it was them against the house, but I don't really recall you two doing that on either of your seasons when you felt like it was you guys against the house. I mean, you still socialized with people, you got up there and talked with people, you didn't sit in a room like literally 24 hours a day. I love Cody and Jessica to death. I think they're fine players. Well, they're above replacement level players, but it seems like they made their own bed a bit. Wouldn't you agree?
They did, absolutely. And I think that on season 12, what Brendan and I had to do was we had to win every competition, but then also we had to actually try to work with Matt Hoffman, who was at the time and the leader of the brigade and like super against us. And every week we had to like make a deal with him. Like the first week for the veto, Brendan had to like threaten Hayden that he was going to come after him the rest of the season if he didn't keep me. So like we did have to continuously make deals every single week to keep each other in the house. And I mean, that was hard. So that's why I went home.
Well, and even when we would be isolated, not by choice.
Right.
I think there was a lot of people in the house who would try to make us feel as though we were alone. Yeah. And I don't think that was more our choice, because we were always trying to get back in with people, and it would seem like it would start working. And then at the end of the week, it would revert back to the same situation we were in before. So we were always trying, but I don't think we had so many opportunities. That's one thing with Jessica and Cody, it felt like, because they just had several opportunities where they really could have changed it. I mean, come on, getting out Ramses, like that was the hardest thing to watch. Like, come on, Ramses? Yeah. I mean, what on God's green earth was Ramses doing to either of them? Yeah, they wanted to.
Well,
you know,
I think they thought he was going to be safe.
Still,
oh, the house won't vote out Randy.
I know.
Yeah, he won't go home.
But she could have gotten out Paul that week, right?
They could have gotten out anyone other than Ramses. I mean, even if she couldn't get out Paul that week, I don't think he was eligible that week.
Oh,
but
still.
Yeah. No. All right. So let me go back to what's going on with this season, because I think that's something that's been interesting, but not necessarily in the way that we expect, is that it feels like that things are getting a little cutthroat in the house, but it's everybody is fighting with each other and getting like really dirty and nasty about who's going to be Paul's favorite in the house. It's like that you are starting to see the pairs are like, hey, screw the other pairs. It's not like the pairs are getting together and say, you know what, we really got to take Paul out. They're like, hey, we want to be there in the end with Paul. Like, hey, screw you guys. We want to know our pair is going to get to the end with Paul. And so it's so bizarre that like they're all fighting for like second and third place, but not necessarily to take out the guy who's going to win the game.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like Paul is their little golden calf. He is the $500,000 prize that they want.
Yeah,
like,
the prize is being friends with Paul at the end of the game.
It's like the weirdest thing. Even Brent, we hear you say every week that like Alex didn't come on the show to win this season. She came on the show because she wants to go on season 20.
Yeah, that's like, insane for someone to say before the game even starts.
Yeah.
But I think you said it. It's bizarre because this is Bizarro Big Brother.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of what you would normally do in Big Brother. Yeah. Everyone's doing the exact opposite. If they played the exact opposite of where they are now, they would all be much better players.
Yeah.
I'm convinced that like they're trying to find like the worst people to play, and they're like just trying to get them to like play as bad as they possibly can at this point, so that next season, no matter who's in the house, it looks like an amazing season.
They're just trying to like throw this season. It's like the Jets right now, where they're going to tank BB19 and build up BB20.
Nosedive straight into it. You know what I mean? Stop trying to fight it and just go straight into it.
Yeah.
They're like, let's just throw in another Tree of Temptation. Let's just give them some more temptation. Let's have Mark get this really cool Save a Friend temptation and use it on Paul. Like, that's really makes sense.
Well, I mean, Paul is playing this amazing game right now, but again, it doesn't seem like that. Paul keeps talking about like that he has the biggest target on his back, but nobody is really like putting together a plan to get rid of him. I mean, we saw what happened to Mark when he talked to Whistlenut, and then Whistlenut outed this plan to everybody. And we started to explore tonight that there are all of these pairs that Paul is working with, that there's Matt and Raven, and there's Christmas and Josh, and then there's also Jason and Alex. And Paul really has his pick about who he wants to ultimately work with. And then he also has Kevin, who wants to work with him, and Mark, who would target him, but in lieu of that is going to, you know, try to protect Paul with a power. I know, I understand why he did it, because it was like Paul wasn't going home this week anyway, and he figured, like, why not throw a Hail Mary here?
But
I mean, Paul has just endless options right now in the game. Let me go back to the HOH challenge. I did think that Paul got a little too cute with throwing the HOH competition.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm not going to throw it, but I'm going to give the worst possible answer.
Right. After waiting for 10 minutes or however long.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know because they're editing.
But like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it was painful.
He should have just, if you know what, if you're going to try to throw something, like, why don't you answer the
really
wrong
quick.
Answer really quickly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous, you know?
Brent, I think that in a situation where there were better players in the house, I think that Paul would have really been exposed for what he ended up doing here. Of course, in this house, there's no repercussions for that. But this was the move, and I was guilty of this in Survivor the Amazon, that we had a quiz, and I wanted to throw it, and I wanted people at home to know how smart I was for throwing it. And it was my pride that got in the way, and I answered a question about a Bushmaster, and I gave like the most ridiculous answer, and that I was like, okay, because I want the audience to know I really know the answer.
Yeah,
just like Paul was saying, I know the answer. I'm waiting. I know what it is. I'm going to buzz in. I'm like, and you know, it was the same exact spiel that Paul did back when Christmas had the Ring of Replacement. I'm standing here. I'm waiting for Christmas to use the Ring of Replacement. I'm waiting for her to blink. Come on, Christmas. I know you're going to do it. And it was the same exact thing. And then he buzzes in with Cameron, of course. It's like, yeah, okay, we got it, Paul. Like, you know,
it's
everything.
Painful. It's painful to listen to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Josh screaming the DR. You know, maybe Brent can also elaborate for us. Are these – the way the show made it appear that Paul is so good with these pairs, is that how it really is appearing on the live feed?
It really does appear that way. And Rob's right. In another season, he might have to pay a price for, you know – so obviously throwing something like that to Christmas.
Well, let me give kudos to Alex, who we were watching the episode before, said that, you know, this is what did in Alec Beal's game with Andrew Gordon when he was, like, at the double eviction. He's like, here, you take – like, he, like, gifted him an HOA.
Well, you know, Paul has made mistakes, but he doesn't seem to have to pay the price for them. I mean, you need to look no further than, like, you know, your pride getting in the way. Remember when Matt Hoffman threw the HOH during Big Brother 12 and he went like this down to let everybody know that he knew the right answer, and then
exactly.
he was quickly evicted like 6 days later. So, you know, everybody makes mistakes. It's whether or not you have to pay for them or not. Right now, Paul just doesn't have to pay any currency for his mistakes that he's making in the game.
Okay, so he gifts the HOH to Christmas, and Christmas is, you know, ready to go. And she even said, Rachel, that she was like, I won the HOH because I came into this house to make big moves. I'm going to get the house's main target that everybody knows who, and I'm going to get him out. I'm going to backdoor him just like we've done five other times this season.
Yeah, I think that Christmas, Brendan and I were talking about this. We're just like, first of all, she should have gone home. I mean, Brent, we listen every week. I'm on the same page. She should have gone home when she broke her foot. But then we're like, she cannot win a competition to save her life. And all they're doing is giving her quizzes and shuffleboards.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
where is one? Like, we haven't seen like one.
Yeah. To be fair, I feel like that that it's after the double eviction, it's always this type of like tournament thing. I remember like the Nolan twins, one of them won an HOH on like Guess the Emoji after a double eviction.
God.
Well,
I guess the problem is we haven't seen much physical competition outside of OTEV, which popped up really early in the whole season. So we were very, very confused. Like, I mean, just to not see a single physical competition has been really tough.
Yeah, and like, how is Christmas going to play in the final?
I've been asking that since the beginning. I've looked back at all the other part one and part twos. I cannot find one that she could compete in. I know people say, Brent, she's healing. She's not going to be that healed by the time finale night gets here.
No. And do any of us want to watch her like re-break her foot trying to do some stupid competition where she falls and doesn't even win?
No.
But she just re-injures herself?
Yeah. I mean,
where they get whacked. Yeah. Well, there might be some UFC fans out there.
Yeah. But I think with Christmas, with this competition, it was like, I think she was trying so hard and then she just blew it at the end, which for me, it's like right there is a Big Brother player. Like, did she want Paul to win?
She was probably, in the diary room saying like, boy,
that's
I don't want Paul
thinking.
To be mad at me. So I'm trying to throw this competition and I know the right answer. I know what it is. But like, I just want Paul to win HOH so he's not mad at me. And he's like, okay, Christmas, I'm trying to throw it to you.
Yeah.
That's
what I was
If we're in a season where people are just throwing competitions left and right. I mean, this is what I always say when people make their argument that, oh, great winners should never have to win competitions to get to the end and win. It's like, yes, but who the hell is going to want to watch a season where 11 out of 12 people are throwing a competition and one person steps up and wins every week? That's not interesting television.
No, it's not like, great.
I'm dying for someone to finally in these pairs be like, hey, you know, Paul is controlling the house. We should go after him. And by the way, like, if I'm the, you know, constant pawn, maybe they're going to put me up and get rid of me.
And can we also just bring up the fact about Matt saying that if it's his turn to be on the block, that he's like, what the hell?
Turn?
Yeah, if they do it again, he might get suspicious. He's already done it three times now, you guys.
Three times.
But if they do it again, he's going to tell him what for. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Well,
I'm going to give him a piece of my mind.
Yeah, great. I wanted to talk about the pawns because we saw Christmas then go around where she has this plan where
it's
she
a big
wants,
move,
okay,
Rob.
Mark is the target, but we need
big
pawns.
Big move coming.
Big moves are on the way. Christmas, actually, she set this up tonight, and she told us what she was going
to
do.
So my plan is to backdoor Mark, but I need to have one of each power couple up as pawns. So at least, if I don't get Mark, I get to break up another couple.
Now, why? That wasn't funny. That wasn't funny.
Wow, that was
listen,
not a good evil laugh
either. This is what I think is going on in the house. I think that this has been too many temptations. Listen, because there's somebody else that laughs at things that are not funny.
An apple has been picked from a tree of temptation. Everyone, go to the living room where the holder will learn their fate.
That's not funny.
I mean, come on. Can we just talk about how anticlimactic these apple pickings are? It's like Mark just walks over and like picks it off the tree.
Yeah. You're just like, first of all, if there was a damn tree of temptation, you're so bored in Big Brother. I would be running, charging toward the stupid door.
Yeah, people would have pulled the apples off before they even knew what was going on.
Yeah, literally, I would have pulled off four.
Yeah,
like, I would have pulled them all off. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
How, and they're just, like, staring at each other.
Or have them explode in his hand. Like, that would have been way awesome to see. But like,
you want it like a Gallagher show?
Yeah,
absolutely. The fruit?
Yes. Yeah, exploding fruit.
All right, well, let me go back to Christmas's plan. Because, she goes to Mark and Raven. And it's like, okay, I need a pawn from somebody. I don't care who it is. And Matt's like, it'll never be Raven. Never. She can never be the pawn. It's like, okay. But I thought everybody has to have a turn, Matt, so I don't get that logic. But then she goes to Whistlenut, and Alex says, look, I need somebody to be a pawn from that side. And she's like, well, it doesn't really matter who you guys put up as a pawn, because just in case Mark wins the veto, we'll just vote out the person that I conned into being a pawn from the other pair in the house. It's like, wait, hold on a second. You wouldn't do that to us, would you? Like,
exactly. Like, and not only that, but like power couples, like somebody needs to go in there with a Big Brother dictionary and explain to Christmas, a power couple needs to win something. They need to be in power.
Or both of them need to be powerful. I mean,
to win.
It's like, it is. It's become the word bully. We've way overused the word bully. Now we've way overused the word power couple.
Right.
And making a hard move, or what is it?
Big move.
Big move.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Getting blood on their hands.
Yeah.
Like,
so any couple is not necessarily a power couple, is what we need to nail down, right?
No,
any move is not necessarily a big move.
Right.
Just because you have a power scooter, you're part of a power couple.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the tree of temptation, Brent. Brent, now I know that you like these shows like Once Upon a Time in Wonderland and stuff like that.
Rachel's also a fan.
Are you into the tree of temptation? Is it working for you?
I mean, it's something interesting, and it's Taryn and I talk about this often when we're talking about twists that are released into the game. It's a twist that is it's a twist, but it's not something that's game-changing for the house. So, if you're a good Big Brother player, you can work around something like this. And of course, they're not even being forced to pick the apples in the first place. I actually wager that fast forward to next week, because remember they said, only one house guest can pick an apple. I think Paul will have everybody whipped to not pick an apple. I really don't.
Yeah.
I think that will be the mark of that'll be like the scarlet letter.
You'll be marked. Right.
I think this plan is gonna. Yeah. I think this temptation is gonna blow up in Big Brother's face. I don't think another apple's gonna be picked. Really.
No, I agree with you, Brent. And I noticed that tonight in the edit, they showed us that it was like as if all the house guests were staring at Paul to get his okay before they went over to pick an apple.
Yeah.
Like I said.
Well, and also, maybe I missed it. Do you have to pick it before the veto's played? Because that one is the second veto.
Before
whenever the red light comes on. Whenever the tree turns red. So I would assume.
I think it will always be before nominations. By the end.
Yeah, you're right. There's a very good possibility.
Times. Right.
Yeah,
100%. Paul is not going to allow them to use this
and
twist
be treated
anymore.
Like Mark won the veto and he used it on himself.
Yeah.
It'll be like that. If you were shady, you picked an apple.
Yeah.
You know, you're not playing for the house. Rob, I'm telling you, they're not going to pick another apple.
No, you're right. You're right about that. It'll be though the person who is like the obvious target. Like they'll do it every week. Like the person who's out the door anyway, will do it, and then maybe they'll get a second veto.
Raven giving double birds, saying, "How's Paul supposed to win if you keep picking apples?"
Yeah, but if you have to do it before nominations, Rob. I don't think that anybody's going to pick an apple because he'll have everybody convinced that you're the pawn and the other person is the target. You wait and see. I'm telling you.
We'll see. I think that you're right that will be like sort of like Paul's mandate. It's just like going back to like Boston Rob Heroes versus Villains, where there was a hidden immunity idol clue they found, and Boston Rob said, "Hey, if anybody goes and looks for the hidden immunity idol clue, they're mocked. They're the next person out of the tribe." Didn't quite work there, but it's the same idea. If anybody goes and does that,
why not hanging boxes of cereal?
Yes. Oh no, they wouldn't be able to resist that. They would be opening up because there would be prizes in the bottom of the cereal. That would make sense. Like
Cinnamon Life.
I gotta play hard. You know, one of my favorite things about these new temptations that they add in the house is that they have Paul, and Paul, at least, you know, as hard as he's working in the game, he's working twice as hard in the diary room to sell whatever production is putting into the house. Here's Paul when he got to see the Tree of Temptation for the first time.
I see a tree. I see a bunch of apples. What's going on, Big Brother? Every time I think something good is happening and it's going to be a smooth week, we grow tree branches. More apples come. A snake starts hissing. What am I, in the Garden of Eden?
And then he continued on in a little bit after that.
Where's Adam? Where's Eve? I don't know. I'm pissed.
Whatever they do. I mean, this is Paul. I think Paul might be just like getting a little tired because it's always like, I go into a Burger King and I see that there's a king and I'm like, what is this? Is this a monarchy? Is there a crown? What's going on here? I don't know. Is this McDonald's? I'm pissed.
I think he gets a script every week and they're like, hey, Paul, this is what we're going to do. So we need you to say it like, you know, just say however you're going to say it. But this is what's going on.
Here's the scale we need you to follow.
Exactly.
Up, down,
he
up, down.
He wants people to like him. You know, I really do think that little montage we saw about Paul saying, you know, I came into the house. I'm the vet. I'm the biggest target here. I have to play twice as hard this season. I really do think that was him and Big Brother both trying to rehab his image a little bit.
Yeah.
Because
people have seen him as like, you know, as the dictator and the bully of the house. And that's him speaking to America going, you know, hey, I have to play as hard as I can because of, you know, reasons. An A, B, and C.
The underdog of the season.
Right, exactly. I think it is pathetic. So he's trying to paint himself as the underdog. I do think that it is, I don't know, sort of pathetic that he's like, he sees this tree and he's like, you know, every time I think there's going to be a smooth ride, I'm like, your whole damn season is a smooth ride.
Yeah.
That's why we hate the show.
Yeah, right? I mean, how many people are left right now? Is
nine.
It eight?
Nine, right?
Nine?
Nine.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the other thing we talked about is like, why are they having these thing still at this far in the game where it's now going down to the final five and then they're finally cutting all this stuff? I mean, so you could be the sixth person, use this, nine, eight, seven, well, I guess seven person.
Mm-hmm.
So still have this down to final six and maybe get the second veto or the nullify two votes.
It stops at seven.
Your final seven?
Yeah, there's nine people in the house right now and they said the tree is going to be in play for the next 3 weeks. So at nine,
okay,
eight,
so,
seven, so once there's six people left, it's out.
So final seven, you win that thing to nullify two votes.
Yeah.
There's only four people voting. You nullify two votes, and there's only two votes. I mean, that's massive.
It is massive. But in this season,
but
I don't think it's going to be that big.
Yeah, but I mean, if you were going to get Paul out of the house, you're going to need to nullify two of the votes. I mean, if that happens, Brendan, will you be upset if Paul goes out with one of these cockamamie twists?
I mean, if I will be a little sad if that, if they're like, well, we don't have anyone else to put up, so I guess Paul has to go home. And then everybody's just crying, like, as he's walking out. I mean, I think I'm going to be disappointed no matter really what happens.
I would be upset if Paul went home with a twist. And I am not pro-Paul, but at this point, like, he's playing this game where we all have to give him some sort of credit because, like, he has masterminded dictatorshiped them. And he's winning competitions. He's, you know, doing everything we want to see from a Big Brother player. But it's like, there's just no other Big Brother players playing.
Right.
So that's the problem. Like, in any other season, we would be like, Paul's awesome. Paul's great. But because there's no other Big Brother players playing.
I mean, it's a little bit of this, like, Frankie Grande effect. You know, it's like, wait, your sister's who? Oh, yeah. No, you know what? On second thought, I would love to work with you.
Oh, so they're all like starstruck by Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know what I really do think it is nowadays when everybody are playing Big Brother, they're so in thinking about how people are perceiving them and then also the fan base. And so what's going to happen when they come out? Am I going to be able to turn this into something? If Paul's fans hate me, oh, great. I'm not going to be able to do anything. Right. So I should do whatever Paul wants. That way I have the fan base when I come out. And that sucks.
Yeah,
it is really sad. You know, I think they don't want to, what happened to Shelly during Rachel's season that she won.
Yeah.
That was probably the worst example of the fans really going after something. Yeah. I think none of them
being
really
said, I mean, they won. How many people them know the parable of Shelly pissing off the Big Jeff's fan base?
You know the gist of it, though. That, you know, that bad things can happen when you come outside the Big Brother house, and if you want the fans to like you, you better not mess with the fan favorites. I feel like that they, I feel like they know that enough.
Do you think it's mess with the fan favorites, or do you think it's more, if you want to come out of the house and have 300,000 Instagram followers, then you better be...
Well, that was totally true of Elena. That's what she was all about. And a few other people to a lesser extent. They're worried about followers and, you know, subscribers and anything that you can...
Yeah.
They're worried about a career. They didn't put people in the house that really wanted to go after the money. Honestly, that's the biggest problem.
Yeah. I think this season's more overt.
A little unfair.
Oh my God! Let us rant,
Rob. How could you say this when you have a player in the house that's been able to figure out the season's other big twist that Kevin works undercover in the police department with Derek?
That's a good point.
And then they brought Derek into the house. Yep. To work with his
and they did the police handshake
colleague.
That is a good point.
Secret police handshake.
And I mean, they were onto it too.
Yeah,
I
Alex
think, you know.
Cracked the code.
Alex, she's good.
She's a gamer.
Yeah.
That's what gamers do. They crack codes.
Yeah. I think
you're telling me Derek is here in the police department. I'm being under arrest. What's going on? I don't know. I'm pissed.
They probably know Donnie from the FBI.
Right.
Donnie's in the FBI. I'm going to prison right now.
Okay. I think, Rob, it's really just about, you know, being careful with your words in the Big Brother house. And Kevin was not very careful when he talked to Alex. Yeah, I know him from back home. Like, I mean, it just gives somebody something to
run
with.
But that was shady. I will say this.
It was.
Because here's Kevin, who doesn't know from anybody. He doesn't know who Paul is. Apparently, he's not watched an episode of Big Brother yet. Yeah. That he knows Derek from... did somebody was Derek signing posters at
apparently
the mall and they broadcast
like that.
Oh yeah, I know that guy from back home. I know that guy.
Kevin bounces back and forth between like the discombobulated, am I supposed to be here?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like, oh yes, all of a sudden I do because I'm on YouTube with my daughters.
Yeah,
and I know.
That's Derek. He comes to Thanksgiving every year.
Yeah.
We got a plate for him.
What?
I think for me, I am missing a little bit of the game players that we used to see in Big Brother. And I think that it's fun to watch Paul do this. And like, I know people are going to say like, oh, we hate Paul, but it's fun to watch him do this.
Do you hate
but
Paul,
it's like,
Rachel?
When you're, he's doing it the entire
yes or no,
season.
For the record, do you hate Paul?
No, I actually, as a person, I really like Paul and outside the house, but I hate watching someone run the Big Brother house like he's doing. And I hate the stuff he does with the mob mentality where he's like getting everyone to be like, oh, don't talk to that person, or oh, let's go after this guy for his PTSD. Like, I hate that.
Yeah. That's awful. What we've been disappointed in Paul. It's not that we've disliked Paul. We just like the dirty stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You've already played the game once. You know what it's like on the outside.
Right.
You know what it looks like on the outside. You know what it's like to deal with that kind of stuff afterwards. So you're trying to, like, drag somebody in the house.
Well, not only that, but you know what it's like to be in the house when nobody talks to you, because he had that happen to him last year. So it's like, with him and Victor, they had
sitting
people
ducks,
not want to
right.
talk to them.
Yeah.
So it's like, why would you do that to someone else?
Well, it's just, it's kicking somebody when they're down.
Yeah.
Nobody likes this. Like, if somebody's losing a battle and they're on the ground and then they're like, oh, yeah, he's unconscious. Like, well, why'd you kick him in the face just to make sure?
Yeah.
It's like, well, man, that's a little too far.
You know, this may be a little bit of a hot take, but I really do feel like that's actually closer to Paul's real personality than not, is doing things like that. Because the two or three times that he has done that are the only times in the house when he's been challenged. Every other time where, you know, the game's going smoothly and, you know, everything is proceeding exactly how he wants it to, he's never done anything like that.
But when
Jessica was threatening with the halting hex, and then week one when Cody tried to put him up on the block, he goes a little crazy control himself very well.
I'm not gonna lie, I've thought that for a while, that the moment that Paul didn't have control in this game, he was gonna lose his shit, and that's when you could have seen his downfall. And unfortunately, there's never been a point where he's not really had control, so he's never lost it.
Yeah.
That's been very boring.
I mean, and you saw that a little bit last season, that he got into a big confrontation with Meech in the game, like final six, final seven, that got kind of ugly. I do think that his personality is one where it does work best when he is the underdog. I feel like that he was very fun to root for, especially like in the first half of season 18. Where he was down and out, and even like the sitting ducks era, where just like he has such a energetic personality that it's fun to see that as the underdog. But then sort of like when he's controlling, it's a lot.
Yeah. Well, you know what I had to learn in Big Brother, and on season 12, I was just like super in everyone's face. I didn't give a fuck. I was just like, whatever. You know, I'm fighting with Brendan, and it's us against the world. Season 13, I came back. I started winning everything. We were on top, and people were getting so mad. And I was like, why are they mad? Like, I had to do this last season. And then finally I realized, when Brendan left twice, that I had to win, and then I had to go kiss everyone else's butts. And, like, I had to make deals, and I had to still, like, convince people that I was on their side and to keep me around, too, because you can't win every competition. And I think that's what Paul has not realized yet. I think he hasn't realized that, like, if you're going to be on top, you still have to pretend like you're always on the bottom. And because in Big Brother, the players we want to see, we do want to see this gameplay, but we also want to see the players that we can relate to a little bit, or that are, like, humble, or that are, like, you know, I don't know. I just think it's just
well, and even
too
traditionally,
much.
You see the people that are like big forces, like the Jeffs, like Big Jeff. You know, season 13. I knew there's no way Jeff's gonna make it to the end, because he was very controlling.
Yeah,
like he wanted to push his agenda and wanted people to do what he wanted them to do. And when they didn't want to do what he wanted them to do, he didn't understand. Like, why aren't you doing it? Like, why you know? Like, even Adam, I watched Adam Pock. Like, Adam was like, very kind of like, I think it was less starstruck, more intimidated by Jeff. Like, where he was willing to do whatever Jeff told him, because it was like, well, I don't want him mad at me. I don't want him to come after me, you know?
When he went out up to their Kalia room and told Kalia, like, if you put me on this veto, then I'm coming after you. And, like, he did win that veto, but this thing is that Kalia never forgot that. And then as soon as they could get rid of him, they got rid of him over me. Which, I was not even their friend, but I was more direct. Like, I'm not going to be your friend, but I'll still play this game, and I'll still figure it out and have to work with you. Like, I remember talking to Kalia for, like, probably 45 minutes about why she should stay in the house, and thinking about it, and making her think that, like, I was actually going to do this plan that she had talked about. So, it's like, you can't be too controlling in Big Brother, because people don't like them.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know what? I think what's going to save the season is that they got 500,000 $1 bills, brought them into the house, and just dropped them in the middle and said, why don't you guys play with this for like an hour? And then just took it back and said, hey, anyone want this?
Yeah.
You can buy a lot of cereal with that money.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God. Yeah. Checks for days.
You could buy a lot of baby food too. Because I want to talk
about Whistlenut as well. And that was a great moment in the show where Whistlenut finds out that he has another baby on the way. Brendan and Rich, did you guys have any announcement that you guys wanted to make?
Woo!
Our baby is almost two,
and
we are pausing it.
Yeah,
we
so smart.
Find it amazing
so smart.
That you have two, because we don't understand how one works.
Yeah. So you
she
guys
is
are
the boss baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are very smart.
Yeah.
Take it from me.
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
Anyway, so
Big Brother, very difficult. Being a parent, 1,000 times harder.
And so Whistlenut finds this out, and everything's looking good for Jason, but the house is starting to turn on him. Christmas is pushing this idea of Jason needs to be the next target to go out of the house after Mark. She ends up telling Paul about this plan. He's in on it, and Paul feels like this is great because we've seen that Alex and Kevin don't get along, and then that Jason is like the connective tissue between that group. And so this really plays into Paul's hands even more. And then Jason, during the double eviction show, gave that speech about how, Mark, how could you? You talked to me about getting rid of Paul, and that was such a bad idea. But there's some talk of like, well, why did that only come up there? And then was Jason in on those conversations? First, let's go back to Jason's speech during the HOH. What did you guys think of that?
During the double eviction,
yeah.
Yeah, I thought he did himself in because he played too many cards on the table. If he was playing blackjack, everyone would know what he had in his hand. It was just, or not blackjack, Texas Hold'em. Everyone would know what he had in his hand. I thought it was stupid to mention the Alex thing. It was stupid for him to mention the Cody told me this, Mark, and this and that, Elena. Like, he should have just said, I nominate Elena and Mark. That's it.
Well, this shows you that he's never seen the show before. So he thinks every other HOH ceremony where they have to give a speech, he's like, oh, I'm HOH. I got to give a speech. But no, you don't really have to in the double eviction. But he doesn't know
that. Well, he said, I'm going to give a speech.
Right?
Yeah.
I know why he told Mark that. What good did that do Mark?
Yeah.
Rob?
Tell me, Brent, did what Cody said during the double eviction that we saw Josh bring it up, but Josh's ride or die is Christmas. And Christmas is the one who's pushing that Jason needs to go. Do you think that the Cody seed did have an effect again?
I think it's had an effect. Whether or not it's going to be an effect that, bears any fruit, I think is probably, a horse of a different color. I do think that it really goes to show, and maybe you guys can talk about this, is the rarely used art of proactive lying. If you listen to our shows, we were talking about how people usually reactive lie, but they don't proactively. I know Cody was on his way out the house, but still he willingly created a lie out of thin air and told it to the house and see if anybody grabbed onto it. And it looks like at least one or two people did.
Yeah, I thought that was smart for Cody to mess with people's games, but it didn't really do him any good.
Right.
But then it was like, it reminded me of Andrew Gordon, but I guess that wasn't a lie but when he called Kristen and told everyone, it's like,
just drop a bomb.
You want to see the bombs dropped, but then it's like, you should do these bomb droppings before you're going out the door.
In fairness, Andrew did get to watch the carnage on the live feeds the rest of the season.
Yeah. Yes.
That's true.
That is true.
So he did get to watch how it all played out. He's a prankster.
I think Jason just doesn't know how to, he's very likable, but then you're also you want to just cringe. So it's like, with him, he just needs, if he could just keep the very likability and then not release all of his cards on the table.
What's funny is if we take all the people that are left right now and we rewind back to the beginning of the season, these are all these people were your favorite players going into this. You were like, Whistlenut's going to be great. He seems so funny and likable. Christmas, she seems like she's just going to be dynamic, hardworking.
Winning every competition.
Matt seems really likable. Raven seems like she's really I don't even know what we said about Raven.
Fun.
But fun, anything but what she is. You know?
But I mean, that's the nature of Big Brother. I feel like that when you observe any human being for 24 hours a day, you come away with a lot of faults and a lot of flaws. And then we forget after a while. It's like, oh, that person wasn't so bad. Oh yeah, bring that person back. Yeah.
I guess, Rob, it does feel like it's gotten worse, though, because Jason was the guy in the beginning of the season where we on the Live Feeds Roundtable said, you know, if anybody's going to take out Paul, it's going to be this guy.
Yeah.
You
know, he's had
all of the fight just totally kicked out of him. Alex has whipped him into shape, told him exactly what to do. He has good instincts, you know, against the field for this game, I think, but he's just unwilling to act on them, and he's letting everybody else run his game.
And even just feeling like he's getting whipped around by Alex. I mean, these conversations they're having in the storage room, it's just like Alex yelling at him, like, you're an idiot, you're stupid. It's like, what is this, like a 23-year-old talking to like a 35-year-old? Yeah, right. And he's just like, yeah, oh, okay, let me eat some more peanuts. I mean,
it's like
on.
Alex has picked up all the bad parts of Paul and is like going out there and interacting with people how Paul interacts.
Yeah, this
like,
isn't what Paul would want.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what? Are you his little pit bull? Like, that's what she acts like. His little bulldog.
Even more
that
disappointing.
Has to, like,
even more disappointing. Alex
orders.
Was the one that Rachel was like, oh, I think she's a strong female, this and that. And then it's just like, boom, nosedive again.
She told Cody to eat poop on the first night.
Yes, exactly. What happened to that girl?
I mean, and she was also the girl in the very first week we saw that was like part of the oddballs, right? So it's like, how'd she go from being an oddball to now being a pit bull? Like, I don't get it.
She's oddball now.
I think these people are like, you know, I mean, it's the mesh of who they are and who they want to be or who they want to appear to be on the show. And then sometimes they're close to form. A lot of times they're much different. And I think a lot of times, I mean, you see this picture of Alex she comes in. Oh, this is gamer. I'm this, gamer nerd. And then they're like showing all these Instagram pictures where she's like modeling in bikinis pictures. And it's like, well, those are like two strikingly different personalities. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing on the show. It's like the girl wants to flaunt a little bit and be at the center of attention, and a lot different than what we kind of thought she was going to be like.
Yeah, I guess it's disappointing that she is just always Paul's little bulldog.
Or
guard dog. Whatever.
Well, you lose respect.
But,
we don't have the respect from a game perspective, you know?
Dude, if you could do this, but like against Paul, we would all want to be on your team.
If she takes out Paul...
Yeah.
From like a strategic standpoint to wanting, not saying the temptation apple, you know, gets knocked down two rungs and Paul gets whacked out the door as a result. But if Alex takes him out as a result of game, I think she goes up like 1,000 pegs on everybody's scale. But that has to happen at the right time. Otherwise, she's going to be going out second.
The best point that it might happen would be like next week if Jason does go up on the block and is out of the house. You know, if Alex gets any sniff that Paul at any point had his hand in that could be something. But I've been saying this all season that this could happen.
I know.
Happen, and you're sort of waiting for the shoe to drop, and it just doesn't.
I don't know. What we have to do, we have to go back and watch all of the Big Jeff interviews, because I think that the answer was right there in front of our face the entire time. Because, I mean, basically, Big Jeff's famous question of, would you rather win the game and be hated, or would you rather lose the game and be loved by America? I mean, it basically comes down to, would you help Paul win the game and be loved, or get Paul voted out of the house and be hated and win the money? And they're like, you know, I don't want America to hate me.
Or would you rather help a mosquito?
Yeah, would you rather
win the game?
What is your current relationship with a mosquito that was going to bite Paul? Would you take the bite for him, or would you let Paul get bite by the mosquito? I'm here. I got a mosquito.
Is it my mosquito?
Well, I think on hashtag BB season Paul, I think it really does make sense. And it's like one of who was it that did? Was it Trent that did the mob mentality psychology podcast?
John Krauss did that. The cult podcast.
I was like, Trent.
I don't know.
Rachel makes up names.
I just made that. No, the guy that you guys were talking about it. Anyways, it made me think because I was like, I wonder if like that question does put these house guests in the mentality like, if you oh my gosh, if I'm going to win the money, America's going to hate me.
Right, but they're so stupid, though. They should know if they were any sort of a fan of the show, they would know that that question is ridiculous. They are not mutually exclusive. You can be somebody who wins the game and walk out to everybody cheering for you. You need look no further than the woman on my left who did it in season 13. Like, it can be done, but people just don't seem to be willing to try.
I mean, it's true.
But going off that logic, they would probably be very worried because they're like, are there a lot of mosquitoes in the house?
All right, let's take some questions from our live listeners right now. And this is from Steven, who asks, doesn't nominating someone from each couple alienate both couples? How is that good strategy? Brendan and Rachel, do you like the Christmas idea of nominating one person from each of the other two power couples?
I would have done that, but not for Christmas's reasoning.
I would have done it
to get rid of someone, you know, but like,
I think it's a dangerous strategy.
Yeah.
I think you do have the, because if it works out perfectly, like it has, I mean, you know, maybe it's perfect, but there is always a chance that Vito doesn't get one. The nominations stay the same and you don't know who's going home. So in theory, you can promise both people they're both safe. And the one that you really, I mean, so, and it gets back, I mean, it can blow up in your face. I don't like it because I think it's very dangerous, unless you have absolute assurance from both sides that it's going to be fine. But it's never going to be.
And I like it because we're playing Big Brother, and I like to play Big Brother.
Rachel likes to make big moves.
Yes, I like to make real big moves.
Yeah, Brent, do you like this idea?
Well, putting up one from each of the couples, yes. I actually do. Given the current dynamics of the house, I think it was probably the safest thing that she could do to cover her ass in case Mark won the veto. I'll give her this. She was able to go to both sides and say, look, if something goes wrong with the plan, don't worry, we got you. You know, so at least that was a little bit of gaming. She did a little bit of what Paul's doing with covering his ass to three different couples all at the same time. My biggest problem with the season is that everybody recognizes that Paul is doing that. Like, just the other day, they were like, Paul, go make a fake final two with Kevin. Like, you're letting everybody else, meaning Paul, have all the power and choices in the game.
Is that weird?
And you're so fine with that. They're fine with Paul having his hands in everybody's pair. Sorry, that sounds weird.
And that's the thing, is like you can't use any logic in this season. So normally what would not work any other season works absolutely perfectly in this season. You're like, oh, it's your turn to go up on the block. Oh, it's my turn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, use the veto that you just won when you're on the block, Marcellus, to take off someone else. But don't worry, we won't Marcellus you. But you know what? The funny thing is Matt doesn't even know who Marcellus is, I'm sure.
No, he doesn't know that's a thing.
Is he on the cereal box?
Yeah.
Okay. This is from Gregory McBean. Should Kevin have made up a fake occupation instead of saying that he's a stay-at-home dad? I mean, I think that would have probably gotten him in more trouble. I don't think that Kevin is great with making up these fake stories.
No, I agree with you.
I mean, he's bad with real stories. Yeah. Why do we want him to make up a fake story?
Yeah.
All right.
All he has to do is talk about 6 or 7 kids he has. I mean, it's hard to make up stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. Hairline wants to talk about Christmas didn't talk to her nominees at all after the key turn. Is this the first time that somebody spoke directly to the backdoor target? Brent, did you notice that?
I did notice that. Not one word. I think that, you know, like the producers, at least at this point, understand that they're not fooling us anymore.
Like, don't waste our time.
Yeah, please, don't waste our time. Yeah. Yes. I'm glad they actually showed her talking to Mark. You know, obviously they must have cut out the part where she said, you know, Mark, obviously you're the target. You know what? Everybody knows what's happening here. There are no secrets here. So I thought that was interesting, and I can't remember that actually happening before, where the two nominees didn't even get a whiff of airtime there.
Yeah,
I think that for me, seeing that, I think, like you guys said, I think it does show that it's such a house mentality that it's like, okay, this is who we're going after this week. So it's like they're now that they have to show the storyline is that this is who they're going after this week, and next week the storyline is going to be one person again, because it's just that house mentality this season.
Okay.
Rachel and I weren't quite sure, maybe Brent knows, or maybe you know, Rob, about why, was there something we missed behind Mark using the apple on Paul?
Oh, yeah.
We were very confused.
Yeah, I mean, he has no friends in the house, and yeah. I don't think he really could have done much of it with it anyway. I think he tried to ingratiate himself. This is Mark's personality. He tries to ingratiate, kiss ass a little bit. He's really good at that. Really terrible. It's pathetic, I think. But he wanted, like, he figures, look, Paul is safe. There's no way Christmas is going after Paul, and even if she did, he ain't going home. So why don't I use it on Paul? I can say that I, you know, fulfilled my debts. Hopefully I can say to somebody else, look, I'm a loyal person. The problem isn't that it's not doing anything whatsoever.
Yeah. Too late.
Yeah, he couldn't have used that on Jason and said to Jason, like, Jason, they're going to, if the veto is not won, you stay on the block, they're going to use this against you, Jason. So.
But I mean, you did point, she brought up the point, is like, well, but he uses it against somebody who's actually likely to be up on the block, then Mark could be up on the block anyways. So I don't know if he wants
to be up on the block.
Yeah. Oh, did he?
He wanted to play.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't want to be on the block, but he wants to have a chance to play for veto, given that he has four conflicts. Yeah. He knows what's going on at this point.
Exactly.
So I figured he would rather have been placed on the block and at least given a chance to play for the veto.
Right.
Does it look like Mark has had, like, his soul zapped from him in the VR now?
Like, he just does not fight back. Like, he is the antithesis to me. Like, I mean, he just, like, every time somebody yells at him, he's like, oh, okay. Like, you know, like, he just, there's no fight.
Like, when Paul was just berating him on the last episode, you're like, dude, Mark, you're like 10 times the size and just stand up. Like, oh, that's all you have to do. But it's like, it was hard to watch.
Well, I
like
the fact that Mark owned it. Mark owned it in front of Paul and said, yeah, I was actually talking about getting you out, but he didn't go far enough. He should have said the reasons why. Yes, Paul, I'm trying to get you out because you're the person who's going to win the $500,000.
Yeah.
You're going to take it from everybody else. You're going to promise everybody else that they're going to the top three with you. Like, he needed to go further.
And that may have had a chance to, like, spark something in people's heads.
Well, I think they've lost sight that this is a game. They're playing for $500,000. And at this point, it's just become like this weird reality to them where I get it because I was in Big Brother and it does become a reality to you. It does become like your whole world. But you also, I know, like, both times Brendan and I played, we always had in the back of our minds, it's $500,000 and it's a game. So I think they've lost sight that they're actually playing for this big prize at the end of the season.
You know, Brendan, I actually do really love your idea, as crazy as it sounds, to drop $500,000 in the middle of the house for an hour.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I really do think that that might actually spur some people to think about what is life-changing money.
Yeah.
I think that they've lost sight. Because,
they have,
you know,
lost
what?
Sight of it.
And I heard you guys say this, and we think it also is like, as you get closer to the end, that money gets a hell of a lot more real. Mm-hmm. And somehow these people still don't seem to, like, grasp. Like, for a lot of them, this will change their life.
Now, let me ask you guys, do you feel like production would want at this point anybody other than Paul to win that money?
I think if they could step up and take it out. I mean, I think in this episode and the last episode, these past two episodes, we've really seen the humanity come out of these people. Instead of just showing the fights and showing the drama, we've been shown the humanity side of these people where we're seeing Jason's baby. We're seeing Christmas and Josh's little, I wouldn't rather do this with anyone but you. And we're seeing, like, all these clips where they're kissing and blah, blah, blah. So we're seeing more people now. And I think I even said to Brendan, I was like, I feel like tonight's episode was like, they want us to like this cast. Like, they want us to like
them. Yeah, we said that even on Friday. Yeah. It's like, I think they're trying. I think Big Brother's got to be recognizing that a lot of people are just, like, hating this cast. So they're really trying hard to, like, flip the script a little bit, make us like them and humanize them a little bit more.
Yeah.
And think, oh, look it, they're so funny. Alex is scaring them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, God.
Yeah, I feel like it was a little bit like a character building exercise tonight because up until now it's been the Paul and Alex and Cody and Jessica show. I mean, those are the only four people who have had any real airtime whatsoever.
Yeah.
There are people on the show that I guarantee you, like, half the casuals don't even know who their names are. Like,
who
is that guy, the silver hair? What is he doing? Was he on the show before? Like,
Cochran,
I really don't think that.
Cochran.
Kim.
Malcolm.
But Raven, she doesn't get any screen time.
We're way behind schedule. We got to get to the live feeds. Okay. We're doing great, but we got to talk about the live feeds. Don't worry.
Okay.
I don't think there's that much to talk about. Let's do the live feeds.
Brennan's checking on the baby.
Okay. Go check on the baby.
You have to do that when you're a parent.
Yes. I don't hear her. I think you guys are good.
All
right. Let's get into the live feeds. And if you're going to jump out, join us Wednesday night. Big Meech is going to be on the show on our our next Big Brother podcast. Woo-hoo! Of course, here we go.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yes. Okay. There you go. All right. So let's get into the weekend in the feeds. The feeds came back up on Friday night, Brent. We got to see a good portion of what we saw tonight with these nominations. We had our veto as well over the weekend, and nothing too interesting here, right?
Nothing too interesting. The only thing that was interesting was that they were not successful in their plan to backdoor Mark. He did get a chance to play for the veto, so he had a chance there to save himself, but unfortunately he did not win. It was the slip-and-slide competition for the veto. Big Brother hates us this year. That is a staple of the show for them not to put that on the live feeds as a head of household competition. I don't know what they're thinking. I mean, it's like, please, sir, may I have another? Like, they're just terrible to us this year. I don't understand why they chose to make that the veto competition.
Well, anyway, because Christmas can't play in the HOH competition, is that what you is your leading theory?
I mean, I guess, look, like I said, I mean, I just think it's really weird how so many competitions lately have been just like, you know, the putt-putt and little questions, and like, there've never been anything physical for the past like 6 weeks, it seems like, since Jessica won that original endurance competition. There have been absolutely nothing.
Okay. Zingbot also was in the backyard this weekend. Anything that you can preview before Wednesday, Brent? Any drama there?
I think the only funny Zing, and by the way, Zingbot really needs to get some new writers because it hasn't been very funny lately. He said something about Matt having done nothing all season long except for Raven, which I thought was actually very funny. Zing. Other than that, I didn't hear too much of the Zings. By the way, Jason is the winner of the Power of Veto, by the way. Mark did not win it. Like,
yes.
I said, he got to play, but he didn't win it. Jason is the winner of the Power of Veto. Obviously, Christmas is going to follow through with her plan, i.e. Paul's plan, to get Mark up on the block. And there is a little bit of drama in the house about, you know, maybe Kevin wants Matt out of the house, but that's not going to carry the day. Mark is going to go home.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, and at this point, I'm glad that Jason won the veto. I'm glad he's staying. I think Jason and Alex could actually take out Paul, or at least take out Christmas and Josh.
Well, as much as I want to root for Mark, I feel like Jason has way more of a fight in him than Mark does at this point.
And now he has a baby coming along, so get the fight going.
I mean, hopefully.
This is an interesting idea. So, all right, so let's talk about which of the power couples that were outlined tonight, Matt and Raven, Josh and Christmas, and then Alex and Whistlenut. Which is more likely to turn against Paul? Well, if any of them were to turn against Paul, which one would you put a chip on, Brent?
Wow. If anyone was going to turn against Paul, it would have to be Christmas and Josh. They have been the ones who have shown the most independent thinking. You know, Josh was at least trying to get Elena out of the house. I know he wasn't very successful at that. And Christmas ultimately did what Paul wanted to do, which was to use the ring of replacement to get Cody out of that veto competition. But they were at least contemplating the idea. Like when Paul left the room, Christmas said to Josh, you know, don't let Paul tell you what to do. You know, like, this isn't Paul's HOH. This is your HOH. I can't really imagine Matt and Raven, or even to a lesser extent, Alex saying things like that. Maybe Whistlenut, but he's only one half of the power couple. So I wouldn't even use the word power couple.
Maybe here's a question. Yeah. What couples are most likely to talk about the deals that Paul's
to each
making?
Other? Oh, that's a good, better quote. None of them, right?
None of them.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a way that Paul's going to have to make a mistake. You know, the thing that he could do, maybe even not meaning it, people try to throw HOH to Paul, and Paul has to make a choice. Then that's where his lies could get exposed. Like, if he went to HOH accidentally at Final 7, like, let's assume Kevin's out of the house, which I don't think he's necessarily going to go next, but let's just assume for the sake of argument that it's Paul with three other pairs. If Paul wins HOH, he's going to have to pick a pony at that point, and hopefully at that point they would wake up. I'm just afraid that he could even do something as crazy as, like, put Jason up on the block with Alex and say to Alex, you know, you're the pawn. Jason's been shady. He's been saying this. And Alex would be like, oh, okay, sir. I understand. Jason, you have to go. Like, I hope that's not what she does, but I have a feeling that that's what would happen.
Okay. I agree with that. And I think that the likely scenario in that case, I think Paul would have to put up Matt and Raven, actually, because I think that he's going to get the least amount of house drama from getting rid of Matt or Raven. And the way he won't even have to turn shadiness or whatever, he'll just have to say something like, Matt hasn't done anything all season. You know, he doesn't deserve to be here. And then he goes.
Well, and Matt and Raven probably just go up on the block the easiest, right?
They're
just
like,
oh, yeah, you're not the target. I'm going to backdoor somebody. I'm not sure who yet, but don't worry. We'll figure it out.
All right, let's get back to the questions. Like a couple more here tonight. Johnny DeSevera wants to know, would it hurt Paul to go for an apple? So what if he can't play HOH? Does he need it? I mean, I think that what is really to gain from Paul? Or do you think that because he micromanages everything, he's the guy who went and found the secret entrance into the plane room back in BB18? Brendan, do you think that he will be able to leave well enough alone and not grab an apple?
I think so, because I think what he's going to, what Brent was saying earlier, I think it's going to be striking the fear of God into these people about, well, if you take it, you're shady. So he's going to be a hypocrite and he's going to risk undoing himself by, you know, violating whatever he's trying to tell these people.
Agreed. I don't think Paul will go for an apple because also I know for myself, my game in season 13, Pandora's Box, I did not want to open Pandora's box. I was like, forget about it. I'm not getting, it's not worth it because Paul does have his money on his mind. And so he's thinking he could win and this could mess up his game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go with, this is from Binky Productions and Sharps. Brendan, Rachel, who are your favorite house guests this season? And if you guys were in a dynamic duo with another season, would you align with Jody?
Yeah, I would align with Jody, but I don't think that Brennan will play Big Brother again.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think I would have. Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing: is in Big Brother, it's nice to align yourself with people that you can kind of predict their behavior. That's why Paul, I've always seen in this season, want to get rid of the people that are unpredictable. Mm-hmm. Because if you can tell what people are going to be doing next, it's very easy to work with them because you're not so surprised that they're going to, you know, flip on you. And I think people like, you know, that's why he wants to get out the Ramses, wants to get out the people that are unpredictable. So, yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, Cody and Jessica, if they say that they're going to do something, they're going to do it. So, yeah, I definitely work with them.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I know that Jessica on our podcast said that Paul wanted to get out Ramses because he was a bit of a showman in the house.
Showman.
That may certainly be true, but I feel like the bigger reason was that, you know, Ramses was a fan of Big Brother, is a fan of Big Brother, and he, at least in the diary room and, you know, on the videos to us on the live feeds when he was by himself, was saying, like, he recognized his place in the house and what Paul was doing, and, you know, he generally knew what the game board looked like, and right now nobody else in the house really does know what the game board looks like, so that's why he got rid of him.
Okay. Melissa Bott, who wants to grab a life vest, Rachel?
The whole house.
Yeah, a lot of floaters. A lot of floating.
I think the whole house could grab Life Fest this season.
Okay. John Densford, $10, says, it seems like the BB alumni don't really want Paul to win. After the BBOTT drama, what should we read into this? All right. We have some BB alumni here tonight. Would you say, does the alumni as a whole... are you guys pro Paul, or would you like to see one of the new players win?
I think that the alumni as a whole is not pro Paul. However, tonight, and I think that the rest of the alumni will get on board with this, Brendan and I were even talking, and we were both like, it will be a shame if Paul does not win this season. At this point in the game, if anyone else wins, unless it's a big move and they like legitimately take Paul out, I mean, a big move, not like a Christmas big move, an actual big move, then I do think it will be a disappointing season if Paul does not win. Because at this point, he is the only person that's played the damn game.
Yeah.
I think everybody has, I have a feeling that a lot of the Big Brother alumni have similar opinions to us.
Yeah.
Is that we've all played the game.
Right.
And so we know, if once you've played it once, you know what it's like in there, you know what it's like on the outside. So to watch Paul kind of like kick people when they're down, it just seems like it was unnecessary. So to watch him like, try to, like, pick these fights with Cody, like, trigger his PTSD. I mean, come on, for the love of God. I mean, this stuff was completely unnecessary when Paul was already running the game.
Right.
So I think a lot of Big Brother alumni just have no respect for the way he's been playing. But we still respect strategy and gameplay, you know? So, I mean, but what Rachel says is I think we're going to have a hard time stomaching anybody else.
I could not imagine anyone else.
Paul
winning.
And Raven, and everyone hates Paul, so Raven wins.
My God,
I mean,
like, could you imagine?
When you, when you say stomaching, is that a shout out to Raven?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Now, speaking of you guys and the Big Brother alumni, I also want to give you guys a lot of kudos that I think it's really great what you guys have been doing, that I had been hearing about how with the Big Brother Alumni Network, you guys have all gotten together and you guys are working on recording a We Are the World type music video to raise money for Raven. So thank you guys very much for your work on that. Looking forward to seeing the finished product.
You know, thank you so much for announcing that tonight, because I don't think anyone has announced it yet.
Yes.
We're going to be doing it with Armpit.
Yeah. Well, Rob, seriously.
Looking forward
to
it.
Matt was having a conversation with Paul earlier today where he literally said to Paul, you know, I think, you know, myself, you, or Christmas, all three of us would step out of the game and hand it to Raven. We'd give Raven the $500,000. And
yeah,
he means that. Like, he is
he
not
he does mean that. He does mean that, Brent. Especially, we saw it tonight in the episode when he's like, oh, well, you're not putting Raven on the block as a pawn. That's not happening. And, like, what? How can Matt be so blinded by this girl he met 68 days ago? I just don't understand that.
And generally the house guests, besides Matt, they do understand what's going on with Raven. They recognize every time somebody hurts themselves, it feels like she hurts herself, or she repeats whatever they said. They get it. They talk about it. They commiserate about it. But Matt is totally oblivious to it. Never once has he said anything about Raven.
Matt just wants everybody else to throw in the towel with Raven.
Right?
Yeah, it's a great show,
not,
Matt.
Not that towel.
Yeah.
If that actually happened, like, how Big Brother would get renewed, I have no idea.
Is it possible, Rob, your worlds are colliding and Raven is actually the three-eyed Raven?
Three-eyed Raven. She sees everything. She sees everything.
Yeah.
No, oh, you, I, no, Brendan, I think you cracked the Da Vinci code here because, because no, she's not the three-eyed Raven. She's Bran. And Matt, what does he love? Cereal. That's right.
True.
It's right.
It's all coming
like,
together.
Oh, no, I'm not Bran. I'm the three-eyed Raven. Wait, hold on. Wait, what? Yeah. You can see the future. You can see the future. And also,
Rob, to answer your question about the alumni, I don't think that anybody is necessarily pro or against Paul at this point. I think they're just pro-fight, meaning they want the people to fight.
Yeah.
Like, give him a game. Yeah. Like, even if he wins, we'll be happy for him, but give him a game. Give him, you know, give him something
absolutely
to work for. That's what they want to see.
Because we've all had to play this game, some of us more than once, and we've actually had to, like, have our butts on the line every single episode.
And there's one thing that a lot of us Big Brother alumni know, it's losing Big Brother.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we hate to see people that are very happy to lose Big Brother and walk themselves to the jury when all of us fought so hard trying to win $500,000.
I mean, I had every single week I was either on the block or had to win a competition. So for me, seeing someone just like hanging out on the summer during the summer, it drives me insane.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I want to ask one more question. Do you think that it's really Cody's fault that Paul is this way? Because I feel like Paul is perpetual victim mode after what happened during week one, where he thought he was in a big alliance, he thought he had friends, and then some people turned their back on him, and he had no idea it was coming. And ever since then, he's viewed himself internally as the underdog. Like, he's got his butt on the line every week. But we don't see it that way. But I feel like that week one is the cause of the Paul that we're getting right now.
I agree with that partially, because I do think that week one changed the game this season. And I think that because Cody had to nominate so many people and week one was played so hard, so fast. I mean, we saw so much in that first 2 weeks that it was like a whole entire Big Brother season.
I mean, it's true.
I think that every single house guest.
Two people left, right?
Right.
Cameron left.
Three people.
Oh, three people left in the
first
week.
Three people left. Like 10 people were nominated.
Should have left, but still is there.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I think that really did change the way that they think. And, you know, it could be Paul's mentality. Because I know when Brendan and I were up on the block and everyone was us against the world. For me, Brendan had to every week in season 13 tell me, like, calm down. We have an alliance. Calm down. We have an alliance. Until I got it that we had an alliance. So I think that
maybe, then the alliance was over.
Yeah, then the alliance was over. But maybe that is something that, like, Paul does think, like, oh my gosh, they're going to turn their backs on me.
I mean, but maybe that's part of the, you know, there's a part of him that's also reminiscing about playing last season.
Yeah, 100%.
Where he had his back against the wall a lot with Victor.
Yeah.
And they made it all the way. So yeah. He's thinking, if I keep that same mentality, I got a better shot of making it to the end. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of that playing in. It's really hard to imagine what Paul's thinking right
and
now.
And who's to say that he also doesn't just think, like, shit, I made such a bad decision last season with bringing Nicole to the final two. And I
No.
Yeah.
He still does not come to grips
with
that.
Well, he hasn't come to grips
with
it. But he did talk in the feeds earlier, was it earlier today or yesterday, where he talked about making sure not to make the same mistake. He called it a mistake as last time. He needs to make sure he brings two absolute goats with him to the final three. I think the danger in doing that, though, is each goat recognizes, hey, you're the other goat, and then evicts Paul at three, which he doesn't want.
But I did see on somebody retweeted Main Joker's updates or something, but he was telling somebody, it was Josh, like, oh yeah, like I just don't give an F about the jury or something. And I was like, isn't that kind of what you thought last season? Like, I mean, a big part of the reason Paul won was not just because of Davon's vote, but or lost because of Davon's vote, but because he really was kind of nasty unnecessarily to a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And I think that's also what turned a lot of the drain on him.
Paul is aware of that. Yeah. He's talking about how he's trying to tailor his goodbye messages better for the prospective jurors this time. He recognizes it's a mistake. I agree with you about his mentality in the house, but I think it has gotten a little bit better in at least since the bullhorn happened. So there you go.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's do one last question.
That's true.
The Survivor guy, isn't it crazy that there have been no alliance names or silly gang signs in the diary room? Now, Brent, is this a Paul invention, no alliance names, or did this come more from Cody?
I guess it came from Cody, and I don't really understand why nobody else gave himself an alliance name. I guess it's not even something you think about until it comes up and we make fun of it, and then it goes away again. So Cody didn't want any names, so that alliance didn't have a name, and then it just became Paul's Minions. I mean, that's what we've used at this point.
I thought at one point Josh was trying to work in La Familia. I feel like that was almost the thing.
Maybe. I don't know. Josh is the only other person, by the way, just to give him a morsel of credit. I do feel like Josh is hungry for the money. I just think his view on how to get there is a little bit myopic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, he's just kind of like sloppy. Like that's how I view Josh. It's like maybe he's got some strategy there, but he's just very sloppy about everything he does.
Yeah. He's also that, and now he's just gone to full, like, he doesn't even talk in the diary room. He's like one of the all time, like, diary room yellers at this point.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Just like ridiculous.
He's just nonstop. I don't even know what he was talking about tonight. He's just like,
Al,
I know what's going to happen next. Mark is going on the block. And that's like, all right. Take it.
Yeah. It's like, good God, just stop. Like they progressively getting louder as the season gets longer.
Because you know why they tell us to get more energy in the diary room, and to that in a Big Brother world, translates to like yelling
louder
into the camera.
Oh, you mean louder? Wow. No, I mean more energy. Okay, louder.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Brendan and Rachel, so great to catch
thank
up
you
with you guys. Thank you so much for coming on. And Brendan, I really do appreciate it that we get so many tweets from you during the live
show.
I don't think there's anybody else in the alumni community that's interacting with us like on a show-by-show basis.
Of course, Rachel makes fun of me.
Because all he does is he's like, Alexa, turn on Rob Has a Podcast. Alexa, go to Rob Has a Website.
We just got that.
No, let me just tell you, it's like,
see?
Alexa just turned on right now.
Turn it off, turn it off.
Alexa, stop.
Brendan's obsessed with your website, Rob.
Good. We need the endorsement.
Yeah, Alexa likes you.
That's good.
Alexa really likes you.
I'm just glad that everybody that's listening to this podcast without headphones, now their Alexa is also playing. Our numbers are going to spike. Brendan, if you guys had another girl, do you like Alexa? Could you have Adora and Alexa?
It'd be so confusing.
Yeah, Brendan's already yelling out, Adora, turn on Rob Has a Website.
I did say that.
Yeah.
I got it mixed up for a minute.
That's
so
great. All right. Well, anything you guys want to plug or tell people to check out?
Well, I think Rachel, you know, I don't think they have the...
Oh, yeah, we're having that Big Brother finale party, the 21st at the SLS.
Oh, you know this?
Yeah. The 21st at the SLS, that'll be fun if anyone wants to come.
Okay, where is that?
The SLS in Los Angeles.
Okay.
downtown. Shoot me your.
You have to be specific with married folks with kids.
Yeah. Yes, because we don't speak right. Okay.
And I'm in casting, so I'm always casting stuff. So please follow my Facebook and Twitter so I can talk about what I need to cast you people in.
Okay.
Your people, Rob.
Yes.
What do you mean my people?
Yeah. What do you mean my people?
Yeah. Do Big Brother contestants still go to Las Vegas at the end of the season? Does that still happen?
I think so, yeah. You should check out at James Ryan.
He's like always yeah, we know what happens with James Ryan.
When you guys brought up Andrew Gordon before, I almost lost it, and I couldn't stop laughing because I was thinking, didn't Andrew Gordon steal the bus that was taking Big Brother people to Vegas after the season?
Do you know the short version? I'll tell you the short version of the story. They take a bus from Los Angeles to Vegas. They stop in Ontario, California. The bus driver goes in to get something in the store. Andrew Gordon jumps into the driver's seat, drives the bus around the corner. The bus driver comes out, and the bus is gone. Freaks out, calls the police. The police come, and everyone thinks that Andrew's getting arrested. So they take Andrew, and the police are like, "Look, we're not going to take you in." So they end up giving him a ride to the airport, and he flies to Vegas. We get texts right after Rachel wins. It's like, Andrew Gordon just got arrested. Like, what? It's like, leave the Andrew Gordon. Like, just all in the name of a prank.
Yeah.
He thinks he's being funny. Like, of course, Andrew the Gordon bus driver did not have a sense of humor, of course.
James Hewlett.
Yeah. It was ridiculous, but that's Andrew. Andrew is—he's like the chronic overstepper.
Yes,
you can have anything, and he'll take it way too far.
He's the best.
That was the year that you won. That was Big Brother 13.
Yeah.
It was like the day after we get a text. Yeah. Andrew Gordon's just been arrested.
Yeah,
what?
We're like on the way to Vegas too, and we're like, what? Do we have to go pick him up at the courthouse?
Yeah. We really thought we were gonna have to pick him up in jail. Okay.
All right.
I hope you can use your money
I love
to bail
that story.
Yeah, Kevin. Oh, sure. Yeah. This is why Andrew deserves an all-star spot.
I remember hearing about it like the day that it happened. Like, like Captain Kosher stole the bus. The police got calls. We're here. Mertz is freaking out.
It was just another one of those stories from Andrew. It's like you spent an hour talking to him. You only hear about 10 minutes.
Sorry.
No.
Well, thank you for divulging me with that. Brent, LFC Roundtable coming up on Monday night, correct?
Yes, LFC Roundtable at 8 o'clock. I think everybody's going to be there. And follow me on Twitter and Snapchat at One Lucky Gay. I am driving into the path of totality tomorrow for tomorrow's big solar eclipse. So I will be reporting all about it, and I'm sure I will have a great time.
Brendan, do you even watch the LFC Roundtable?
I always watch the LFC
Roundtable.
Yeah, we do. Wow, okay.
And I have a better question for Brent. When can we expect him to be dressing in his black veil this season? What should happen in the course of this season?
That originally happened because the brothers out of fucking nowhere won Big Brother Canada 4, and I could not have predicted that was going to happen. I just I was not prepared for it. See, I'm prepared for Paul now, so I don't think that I would have that. Paul will have earned his money if he gets to the end there. So it would have to be something like Raven.
A Raven win?
Yeah, a Raven win. Yeah. I don't know how she's going to deal when she gets
outside
of
the
house.
Will you wear the veil in Brendan and Rachel's music video, Supercut, with all the Big Brother alumni that's being put together to support her?
Yes. I'll do anything for Rachel.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Brent.
Hashtag Raven Exposed.
Yeah.
Wear the green veil for it. Okay. All right. Great stuff. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. And
thanks,
we've got a lot coming up this week. It's going to be a lot of fun. Big Meech on Wednesday night. And then Adam Klein is going to be on the podcast on Thursday night to talk about this season of Big Brother. So a lot of fun stuff. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Later.